Hey there, welcome back. Today I'm going to be going over an outline that I created for a Bible study group a handful of months ago on the fruit of the Spirit, joy. So a quick opening prayer. Dear God, today we ask that you be here, be present, and help the words flow through me. Help your words flow through me to the audience, whoever's listening to this, who needs to hear it. Just let it affect them in the way that they need the most. In your name, amen. All right, so first we'll do a little review. We talked about breath, we talked about kindness. Those episodes actually are not even up yet, but that is part of my outline, so I'm going to go over it. Breath is the common denominator in all the things we do. It's not listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit, but it is God's breath in our lungs. It's His name that we're breathing. And it's the sound of Yahweh. It's not the vocal vibration of Yahweh. It's the breath itself. Now you can make it sound like Yahweh, or you can just breathe. But the point is that the breath itself is the breath of life. In Job 33:4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." That's our backup verse for the breath. Kindness was another week that we did. It's the action of meeting real needs while avoiding all unnecessary harshness. And our reference verse for that, for kindness, is Ephesians 4:29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who observe." All right, on to joy. What is joy? Is it a feeling? Is it a sound, a word that represents a feeling or a quality of somebody's state of being? It's a characteristic. That person over there, that person's joyful. The definition that we're going to use is an awareness of God's grace. To be in a state of joy is to be in a state of awareness of God's grace, knowing that it's there. That is the spirit of joy. Merriam-Webster has multiple definitions. The emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. So, right there, it doesn't really address the spirit aspect of it. It's calling it an emotion that is dependent on good fortune or possessions or well-being or success. The second definition is a state of happiness or felicity. So neither of these definitions really get to the spirit of joy, in my opinion. The first one decides where it comes from, which is ultimately a lie. The person experiencing the joy is the experiencer. So no person defining the word can decide the source of the joy itself. They're saying it's an emotion derived from having one's desires. I've had plenty of things that I desired and still didn't feel joy. The second one's a little more accurate to me, but still void of the spirit, the state of happiness or felicity. Now, what is the opposite of joy? Sadness? Despair? Anger? Lack of awareness of God's grace. So our definition is joy is the awareness of God's grace. So the opposite naturally would be the lack of that awareness. And that lack, I would say, is despair. So in times of despair, we've all felt times of despair. These are dark times. These are times of internal suffering. Maybe external suffering, anguish, a sense of hopelessness or helplessness or both, depression, not finding a way out, feeling isolated, feeling alone, even if you're in the company of others, We know that feeling. It's not a good feeling. And in that place of despair, we can call on God. That's how we can find and keep joy during those times. Easy to say, harder to do, but still possible. How do we find and keep joy during times of despair? Well, faith, for one. Once again, easier said than done. Secondarily, focus. Secondly, focus. Faith may not always be available to those of us who aren't married to it. If you're only dating faith, your focus can help you find it. Focusing on faith can get you to joy. And focusing on joy can bring you to faith. Seems like a conundrum. Let me break it down. Faith may not always be available to those of us who have not married it. To be married to faith is to be fully committed, I would say, over a duration of time, so that it's that relationship between you and God, that faith is instilled. It's had time to settle. It's had time to relate to one another, you relating to God, and the conversation, more or less, back and forth between you and God. But if you are not at that place, you can still find joy during a time of despair. And the way that you can do that is by focusing on the good, focusing on God, asking for help in those times, and focusing on the fact that the despair is only temporary. Supporting scriptures and teaching. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So this sounds to me like having everything stripped away from you, having so little that it invites a depth of gratitude to the things that you do have. So 2 Corinthians 8, 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. All right, shifting gears. Nehemiah 8, 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what's happening in the time that this was written? The theme of Nehemiah is the Lord's protection over his people and the need for their faithfulness in keeping the law of Moses. This doesn't apply so much today, I guess, in my opinion. I've never been to seminary or anything like that, but just kind of reading through the chapter, what I get is that law of Moses doesn't apply, but what does apply is the next part, keeping their faithfulness in worship. We have to do that today. We have to keep our faithfulness in worship. I think it's a verse in Matthew that says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, or seek first the kingdom of God. Basically, put God ahead of all else. That doesn't mean neglect everything else. That means God comes first, and your relationship with God will light the path to how to handle all of your other things. Might not always be obvious, but it will eventually come to light. So we see here in Nehemiah that as they stay focused on God, they're rewarded because keeping that faithful focus is special and holy to God. He asks it of us. He does it for us. He does it toward us. His attention is always there. whether we are looking toward him or not. He is always looking toward us. Attention. Attention is arguably the most precious commodity on the face of the planet. This is why corporations spend millions and billions of dollars on how to retain someone's attention in advertising and psychology. They pay psychologists and other experts in the study of human attention to determine the most effective methods at dominating our focus, even for a 10-second spot. Because they want you to buy their stuff. So it's like, okay, well, how can we hypnotize people into watching this thing so that the imagery is in their mind, the sounds combined with the imagery, the, oh, wow, that looks savory. Oh, now I want to eat that. Oh, it's starting to, I'm feeling hungry all of a sudden. That kind of stuff. Traditional news media does this too. This is why they call it programming. We can claim sovereignty of our own attention and choose our focus. We focus on Jesus, his words, his teaching, his example, the situations he was in and how he responded to the people around him. We want to be like that. That's why we're studying the fruits of the Spirit. They're the best parts, the juiciest, sweetest parts of having a relationship with God is being able to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Joy. Joys. How wonderful is joy? Most of the time we think we're seeking joy while we're actually chasing a dopamine response, whether this is with food, alcohol, sex, cigarettes, nicotine, caffeine, all kinds of things. You know, TV does that for us. Music does that for us. It's a dopamine release in the body as a reaction to whatever stimulus is present. And that is very different than joy. But if we are sovereign over our attention and choosing our focus, we can recognize what that is and that it is not an honest pursuit of joy. All right, next up we have an acronym. An acronym that you may have heard before that can really help focus. It's very simple. How to stay in the spirit of joy comes from the word itself, the English word. Spell it out, J-O-Y. What does the J stand for? Jesus. This is in order of priority. Focus on Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Jesus. Number two is not number two, but the second letter in the word is O. Jesus. O stands for others. You want to first give your focus to Jesus, then give your focus to others around you, and then focus on yourself. Joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you. Now, you do not want to focus on others to your own detriment. That is not what this means. Self-care is of the utmost importance, and some would even argue that it's more important to take care of yourself than it is to take care of others, but I would push back in the sense of community. It's kind of a balance, because you need to take care of others because it takes a village, right? So the concept is none of us can do life alone. We all need somebody. We need somebody to make our shoes. We need somebody to harvest the coffee beans so we can drink our coffee. We can't do it all. That's why it takes a village or it takes a tribe. So in focusing on others, you are giving of yourself to support all of us, the community, the humanity, everybody. Now, whether that's in your household, or in your church, or you can zoom way out and look at the entire world. It's all connected. So the order is Jesus first, others second, and you will be rewarded. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and you will have that which you desire. There have been studies recently, and by recently I mean in the past, you know, decade or... I don't know when the studies happened, but recently being like in my lifetime, These studies cite the release of oxytocin when performing selfless acts for other people. Oxytocin is the hormone that is released when we bond with people. Oxytocin is responsible for the bond that mothers have with their baby immediately following birth. Oxytocin is a peptide hormone and neuropeptide normally produced in the hypothalamus and released by the posterior pituitary gland. So it feels good to do things for others. You can get joy from serving others. A hug longer than 10 seconds can catalyze the release of oxytocin as well. It is known as the love drug or the love hormone. So ultimately, serving others, especially from a Jesus-centered place, is serving you. Selfless acts produce oxytocin. Even our body chemistry agrees that it feels good to be in service to others. A good way to memorize that, one of my friends told me, is another acronym. It's HUG, H-U-G, hold on tight until you relax and grow your bond. Hold until grow. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame of the cross, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here in this passage, it's describing how Jesus set his focus on the goal so as to make it through the journey of being tortured and murdered and ridiculed and mocked. He endured that torture and horrific death for the joy that we could experience, because he knew he was giving selflessly and earnestly seeking the will of his Father, God in heaven. He knew that the pain was a part of the journey to joy. Maybe we can learn to appreciate the painful times, appreciate knowing that they give much more value to the joyful times. You know, it's similar to that being in poverty and then experiencing a high level of gratitude because you have so little, something small means so much. If we didn't have painful times, could we appreciate joyful ones? One important thing in this story is that Jesus did not give in to despair, nor did he give it much focus, if any. He was focused on the end result of the pain of his torture and murder. I'm going to read that again. Once again, Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew what he was doing, but he had to endure it anyway, being a human. Switching gears. John 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Wow. There's a lot going on there. And at the same time, pretty straightforward. Be in Christ and Christ will be in you. This passage says to me that if we keep our focus on Christ, he will be present with us. It balances the scales, trading focus for presence. We give him our focus. He gives us his presence. He lives through us when we focus on him. We are giving God the gift of our attention and our faith, and he is giving us the gift of his presence. How's that for joy? Being directly connected to God, that sounds pretty incredible to me. Now, so what are the things that prevent us from joy? It's mostly, once again, about our focus. Where's our focus at? We can put our focus and our faith on God, who is love, or we can focus on fear, which I would say is the opposite of love. Fear is certainty or faith that God won't show up. It's a pretty strong belief. Doubt. I'll throw in doubt as well. Fear is doubt that God will be there for you. But love, God's presence is love. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So maybe you are listening and you have faith that God exists, but don't know exactly who or what God is. Once again, going on dates with faith as opposed to marrying it. But you got to know who you're getting married to, don't you? Earnestly seek God and he will reveal himself to you. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I think it's important to mention here that oftentimes we hear people say, oh, just have a little more faith. And that I do not like. Because faith, I don't believe, is something that you can just decide or, you know, go grab more of it off the shelf or just whip some up in the kitchen. Faith is an enduring focus that results in an experience with God. An experience of faith is what lights that fire, that understanding, that realization and bond, that connection to God in a personal way, a way that is just for you. Because God sees you as you are. He made you. Of course he sees you. Now, it's our job here to focus on him and to see him and to seek him and to earnestly pursue him, his will for us, for our life. Energy will flow
where your attention goes. It's like riding a bicycle. If you've ever ridden a bicycle on a sidewalk or on any area that you have to stay within some boundaries, you'll know that if you start to look outside the boundaries, the bike will start to move that direction. So it's wherever your focus is, that is where you will go. So important question, what are you focused on? Ask yourself, set a timer on your phone or on your watch or on your computer or even one of those old school buzzers. Set a timer every, twice a day, maybe at lunchtime. Where's your focus? Ask yourself, sit for 5 minutes, where's your focus? Conclusion about joy. Joy is completely grace dependent. We only have it because of God's grace and our awareness of God's grace. Otherwise, it's only happiness, which is of the flesh, not of the spirit. And happiness is fleeting. It comes in moments, and it's oftentimes dependent on circumstance. Joy is independent of circumstance. It doesn't matter what you're doing, what's happening around you. Joy is available to be found even in those times of despair. I'm not saying it'll be easy. I'm just saying it's possible. So ask for help. Ask God for help. It's okay. We're just people. So joy is therefore independent of circumstance. Earthly happiness, however, is circumstance dependent. Happiness depends on favorable circumstances or happenings. Joy depends only on knowing God's favor. While temporal happiness is external and fleeting, true joy is internal and eternal. Biblical joy will even thrive in suffering. We must be in Christ so that Christ may be in us. We must be attached to that vine so that the vine can give us life and we can bear its fruit. Remember Jesus, others, you. Be well today. Thank you for listening.